Good morning, Sunburst, and thank you, Paul. And thank you for being here. And I was thinking this week, what a providential thing in the midst of all the circumstances that Paul just described. It's no accident that we find ourselves in the book of Proverbs. As we think together about God's wisdom, he's the source of wisdom. He expresses his ultimate wisdom in Jesus. And in today's text, we have instructions from a father to a son about the proper use and application of wisdom. And I'm calling today's lesson, Stay in Your Lane. And I get that because in chapter 4, and you'll notice with me, if you look at verse 27 of chapter 4, you'll see in the ESV and in other translations, these words, do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. And so it's like this passage is bounded by that concept. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Don't swerve. Stay focused. And it's fascinating to me that we have in our text a father's wise instructions. I want you to see the context of verses 20 through 27. Look at verse 1 of chapter 4. Hear, O sons, a father's instructions, and be attentive that you may gain insight. Okay, that's chapter 4, verse 1. Look down to verse 10. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. That's verse 10. And then notice the repetition, verse 20. My son, be attentive to my words, incline your ears to my sayings. So you see how this passage we're looking at this morning, 20 through 27, fits into the overall flow of chapter 4, the father instructing his son, the idea of the transmission of God's wisdom from generation to generation. Most of you may remember the 1984 Summer Olympics that were held in Los Angeles. And those of you that follow track and field may remember that classic encounter in the 3,200-meter race between Zola Budd, who was running for South Africa, and a young woman from the United States named Mary Decker. And they were two high-powered favorites expected to contend for the gold medal. And you remember, if you do, watching the drama unfold, they got out in front of the other runners, a pack of four or five of them. And at a critical point in the race, Mary Decker and Zola Budd collided. They got out of their lane, and the result was just complete disaster for Mary Decker. Zola Budd went on and won the race, but there were a lot of controversial statements made after that, and it was a classic case of failing to stay in one's lane. And I thought about that this week, because in this text, I want you to notice how the biblical author, what you have going on here is every aspect, it seems, of the human body is included. I want you to notice the involvement of the entire body, the idea that God's perspective, God's wisdom should permeate every area of my life. Look down in verse 22, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. The Hebrew there can also be understood as to the entire body. So the point is, wisdom should shape who I am and who you are internally and externally. So here's the main thing I want you to get from this text today. It's a real challenge for us. In light of wisdom's strategic significance, you and I are to apply it intentionally and specifically. We're to stay on course. In a lot of the latest automobiles, you have this feature that's sometimes referred to as a lane keep assist. Have y'all seen that? A lane keep assist. A light will go off, or the dashboard will make a noise if you veer out of your lane. And this This text is a reminder for us to stay in the lane of God's wisdom. Let me read the whole thing. We'll walk through it quickly. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. And then look at verse 22, because it is the motivating argument of the whole text. Why do I pay attention to God's wisdom? Why? Well, his words, his instructions are life to those who find them and healing to the whole body, to their flesh. We go on in verse 23, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Do you see how the whole body is involved there? Just by way of summary, quickly, we're told to have hearing ears, guarded hearts, accurate mouths, focused eyes, and directed feet. That's all covered in these few verses. Well, let's break it down. Let's talk about the hearing ears in verses 20 through 22. Notice the verbs here, incline. That's used again and again in the book of Proverbs. It's also used repeatedly in the Psalms. I think of Psalm 119. Incline. The idea is to be attentive, to turn your ear in order to listen. We might say today, tune in, be ready to receive instruction. A great challenge for us. In these days, we are bombarded by information, as much or more than we can process, and in many cases, more than we would like to have or even know. But I think it's also a challenge for us in terms of stewardship, right? Because I want to be sure I'm listening to the right things. And if I'm listening, and I'm listening and hearing to the hearing the voices around me, and I'm not saying that we should dig a hole and crawl in it. We want to be informed. We want to know what's going on. I'm just saying that on the basis of God's word, if I'm not hearing God's word, and I'm not interpreting and viewing all the circumstances of this life and the information I get through the lens of God's wisdom, then I set myself up for great trouble and disappointment. So incline your ear to my instructions, and you see the motivation. The Lord's wisdom, the Lord's instruction gives life. That's the key argument. You want to have life, you've got to have input from the source of life and the wisdom and the guidance that he gives. And frankly, I don't have to tell y'all this, one of the reasons that our world globally, our country, our society, our cities, our lives are so compounded by problems today is because we're part of a world, we're part of a nation, we're part of a culture that has failed to take God's wisdom seriously. And we could talk about that for the next 45 minutes, but I want to put the positive spin and aspect of this text on it. You know, sometimes we feel overwhelmed. You know, what can I do during these days of crisis? Well, here's something that we can do with the Holy Spirit's help. We can say before the Lord, Lord, in these days, I want to value what you say in a new and a fresh way. And I want to have a heart that is particularly tuned in to your frequency. I want to be sure that I'm hearing what you're saying. I want to be sure that I'm interpreting everything that's going on through the lens of your wisdom and your word, hearing ears. All right, next, look at verse 23, and the guarded heart. Now, you will notice in verse 21 that the word heart is mentioned there. Don't let my words escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart. And we've talked about the heart before. In the Hebrew mindset, it's the control center of the person, mind and will and disposition. And the heart is really absolutely unique. when we think of the interior lives that we all live, the heart is the receptacle of the Word of God. And the heart, according to this text, governs what happens on the outside, the exterior. So interior and exterior, look at it. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it, interior, flow the springs of life, exterior. Guard your heart. Look at that word, vigilance. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. I like what one commentator says based on the grammar used in this text. It's as if the Word of God is saying to you and to me, more than all watchfulness, watch your heart, because all you do flows from it. Guard your heart. And I think that's an important reminder, because it's so easy, particularly in these circumstances, to have a troubled heart, to have a divided heart, to have a heart that frets, to have a heart that fears, all of these emotions, all of these things going through our minds. We're to guard our hearts. I think about the New Testament application of this in Philippians chapter 4. The Bible says we are to be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we are to let our requests be made known to God. And then we get that beautiful promise, and the peace of God, which surpasses human understanding, will do what? Will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so we want to guard our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit, and ask that the Lord would empower us to be vigilant about our hearts. Okay, move to verse 24, and now we look at an aspect that is rather challenging. One commentator says the last citadel that the believer often surrenders to the Lordship of Christ is the area of speech. Speech, an accurate mouth. Put away from you crooked speech, and then the parallel, put devious talk far from you. So notice how in a verse we shift from the internal to the external. We've been talking about the device of hearing and the guarded heart. And now we begin to think about the mouth, a mouth that does not deviate. I think of Psalm 141, verse 3, a great prayer request that we can pray. Lord, set a guard at the gate of my mouth. You really don't have to apologize for words you don't say. And I think all of us have had those experiences where we've been involved in a conversation and we have essentially opened mouth and inserted foot. And so speech is important, because according to this text, what comes out of my mouth reflects what is in my heart. And I think sometimes we kind of don't want to acknowledge this. We say things and then we say later, I didn't mean that. I don't know if that's really accurate, because what comes from our heart ultimately gets out in our speech. And so probably a more honest assessment, when I say something dumb or say something hurtful or say something insulting to someone else, I need to be honest with the Lord and with myself and with that person and say, look, I said some hurtful words and I'm sorry about that. I need your forgiveness, because I still have a fallen, sinful heart. And there are times when my mouth clearly reflects the work that needs to continue to happen in my heart on the inside. An accurate mouth, my speech. Then look at verse 25, the focused eyes. The focused eyes. Let your eyes look directly forward. Literally, let your pupils look straight in front of you. so that your eyes don't swerve. Your mouth doesn't deviate. It speaks truth. It is not involved in slander or deceit. And the eyes, correspondingly, they don't swerve. Think about it. Your eyes are the gateway into the interior of your life. So it's good for us to ask some diagnostic questions, isn't it? To say, all right, as I think about what I look at, what I see, whether it's a beautiful sunrise or a sunset or a television program or an article I'm reading or something that I'm viewing, I need to ask myself the question, is what I'm viewing, is what I'm focusing my eyes on, is it edifying? Does it cause me to love and treasure Jesus more? And if we can't answer yes to those questions, then maybe we should not be spending so much time looking at those things, gazing upon those things. We need focused eyes, eyes that focus on the beauty and the worth and the excellence of all that God is for us in Christ Jesus. And then finally, look at verses 26 and 27. Watch the track of your feet. Don't swerve. And the idea here is of moral deviation. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Don't swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. I read these verses and I think of the diagnostic question, what road am I currently traveling from which I need to make a quick exit? You may be walking down the side road of doubt or confusion or fear or many other things. But I think here's a text that challenges you, it challenges me. All right, what direction am I going in? Am I following a path that is grounded in and governed by a biblical perspective of God's wisdom? That's an important question to ask. So let's answer the question then, so what? This is a challenging passage. We know that it addresses the body as a whole. It addresses my ears. It addresses my eyes, my heart, my speech, my feet. And we understand that God's wisdom is to permeate every faculty of my existence. Well, the first thing I would say by way of application is, as a companion to these verses today, I want to give you an assignment. I know you have a number of assignments, a number of things to take care of, but this won't take very long. I want to encourage you sometime today or in the next few days, read Psalm 119. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and you will notice that essentially the 119th Psalm has 22 verses, and each of those verses begin with a corresponding letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And it is a great psalm. In that psalm, for instance, you read things like, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. It's almost like portions of that 119th psalm are applying the passage that we look at today, Psalm 119. So I just want to encourage you in that. Then let me, I don't do this often, but from time to time, there are some helpful little books that I can pass along to you. And someone put this in my hand a couple of months ago. I'm going to hold it up. It's called, and it's a brief book. It's less than 90 pages. It's called Before You Open Your Bible by Matt Smethurst. And maybe you can see it there. Before You Open Your Bible, Matt Smethurst, Smethurst. A great little book, 9 Heart Postures for Approaching God's Word. And I think this book is helpful because it reminds us that as we go to Scripture, we need to come to Scripture with prepared hearts. And if for some reason you can't see this or you forget it, I know y'all don't forget things, but if you forget things and forget this title, shoot me an email and I'll be glad to send you the title. Well, if you're like me, you can't help but look at this text and think about that song that you were taught and you probably taught your children and grandchildren. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. And, you know, that's important instruction. And we run into trouble when we think we outgrow that basic advice. Lord, I want to be careful with my eyes and with my ears and with my feet and with my mouth. And it's going to be impossible for me to do that in my own strength. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. I need the infusion of biblical truth that's going to steel me with resolve to do that. And so that ought to be a prayer of all of us. And then finally, think with me quickly about the connection to Christ. According to 1 Corinthians, as we've discussed in previous weeks, Christ is the wisdom and the power of God. But I think about particularly the high priestly prayer recorded in John 17, where essentially Jesus is calling on the Father, praying to the Father, and simply saying, Father, I've come down to do what you set out for me to do. And I've come down to do that. I've been sensitive to your word and to your way. And then remember that Jesus prays not only for his disciples then, but for his disciples in the future, for all disciples in time and eternity. And what does he pray? Sanctify them in thy word. Thy word is truth. Lord, set these people apart to yourself and sanctify them by means of your word, by means of your wisdom, by means of your truth. What does God use to make us more like Christ? What does he use to make us distinct from a world that is lost and dazed and confused? He uses his word. And so what a challenge this text is for all of us, that we would ingest, digest God's word so that it would shape how we see, how we hear, how we feel, how we think, how we speak, where we walk, and when we walk. It's a comprehensive thing. And I can't think of a time where it's ever been more important for people that name the name of Jesus to be feasting at the table of his wisdom. And this text in Proverbs 4 is a reminder for all of us to do that. Christ, the wisdom of God, and the power of God. Pray with me. Father, thank you for the Sunburst class. Thank you for our leadership. Thank you for our church. Thank you for our staff. And Father, we pray that even now this morning, through the worship and through the activities going on at our church, that you would draw people to yourself, that they would discover, some for the very first time, the life-changing reality of Jesus as the power and the wisdom of God. And Father, we come to you this morning. We confess, as Paul expressed so well earlier, that so often we don't understand, and so often our perspective is so limited. But Lord, we confess that you are God and you are in charge, and we rest in you. Thank you for your word. And Father, I pray that this week, by your Spirit, we would be people who, in what we see and what we think and where we go and what we do, in every aspect of our lives, we would be governed by your wisdom as is found in Scripture and ultimately seen in the life and ministry of Jesus. Lord, for your glory in these days, empower us to walk in wisdom to the glory of the Lord of wisdom, our King Jesus. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. And now the blessing for today, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. And that peace comes as we relish and delight in his wisdom. Y'all have a great rest of the day and a great week. See you next Sunday.